Welcome to another episode of In the Name of Service, a podcast committed to sharing the untold stories of those who selflessly serve. Each episode features an interview with men and women who have been called to a variety of service-focused roles, such as the military, law enforcement, ministry, volunteering, and more. You aren't likely to know the names of the individuals you meet here, but our hope is by the end of our time together, you'll not only know their stories, but possibly be inspired to write your own in some way. Humble in nature, but strong in character, these everyday men and women showcase what it is to truly be a servant. We're glad you're here. Now here's your host, Dr. Barb Thompson.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of In the Name of Service. Today is a special episode. Typically, I interview people from the military and law enforcement, and today I get to interview some very special people. One is my daughter, Lily, and then the other two individuals are two educators. Well, she goes to school at Smith Mount Lake Christian Academy in Manita, Virginia, Mikkel Phillips and Shelly Kist. So I'll have them introduce yourselves so that the listeners can tell our voices apart.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mikkel, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
My name is Mikkel Phillips. So this is my sixth year teaching at SMLCA, and I teach cultural geography, world history, sociology, and media design.
Wow. So,
yeah.
It's a lot of different subjects.
Range. It is.
Yes. Okay.
Hi, my name is Shelly Kist, and I teach Spanish. I teach Spanish 1, 2, and 3. This is my 21st year teaching, but only my third here at SMLCA. I also am the academic advisor, so I get to help the students with their class scheduling and college and career planning, and it's just a joy. So really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you all for coming. All right, Lily.
I'm Lily. I'm a student at SMLCA. This is my second year here.
Okay. All right. Daughter of the one and only me. Okay. Well, let's get started. So you guys went on a mission trip to Guatemala recently for about a week. It's not the first time the two of you have been. It was Lily's first trip out of the States. First, though, before we kind of fast forward into, because that's like where we're going to get to, and I want to get to that good stuff, I do want to talk to both of you a little bit about what has led you up to this point where you are able and willing to take 21 high school students out of the country for this type of a trip. So why don't you, if you had to describe an experience, Mikkel, you can go first. Either an experience or a relationship or combination of those things during your upbringing that has kind of led you to this point where you're open to do big things like this, and shape you into the person you are today. What would you say that might be?
Yeah, I guess just for more of a background of who I am, I was raised in a Christian home. And so I was always in and around church, always in and around that kind of stuff. I always loved missions in general. I just know from being a kid, like at church, there would be a missionary that would come in and talk. And I was like, that's the coolest thing. Like they're telling these stories of these places they've been to. And they always bring, you know, the artifacts and like you're seeing the stuff and the money and the different currency, all the things. It was just always very, very appealing and super cool to me. And so that was just kind of all growing up. When I was in high school, probably junior year, somewhere around there, one of my friends, his family moved to Ohio, and his dad was going to be he started getting his pilot's license and doing all this stuff, and he was going to be a missions aviation pilot.
Wow.
And
that's so cool.
That was like a really neat thing to me. I didn't really put a lot of thought into it, but junior, senior year, you're like, what am I going to do with my life? I don't know. And so I was obviously friends with him. We had gone up there and visited in Ohio a few times. And one time we went, I got an opportunity to go up with him in a little Cessna. And so it's me, my friend, and his dad in this tiny little plane. Like, that's all the room you have. And we're flying around. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
It is.
And so it was kind of like in that where I was like, I want to do missions. I could totally see myself doing something like this, like flying around. That would be really cool. And I started down that road of Missions Aviation. Mm-hmm. Started kind of filling that out. My senior year of high school, I had an opportunity to go on mission trips in the States, to Alaska. I went two times to Alaska, actually with Lincoln. He was my youth pastor for a while, so I've known him for a long time, or he's known me for a long time. And I had done like kind of some missions. I knew that was something I'd love to do. I went to Madagascar once I graduated high school. That was kind of my like first big trip. And I was gone for the whole summer, which was a really cool thing. And so I kind of followed that direction a little bit. Went to Moody Bible Institute for a little bit, thought I was going to do missions aviation. Long story short, it ended up not exactly working out. And I came back to Virginia. I went to Moody Bible Institute. They have a campus in Spokane, Washington. That's where their aviation program is. So I was out there for a little while. I came back here and didn't really know what the direction was after that. And I had been praying about it for a while. And I had specifically prayed that I wanted Lincoln to reach out to me. He was kind of a mentor figure, but I never approached him, and I was kind of in a stubborn position. And so I was like, I'm not going to reach out to him.
We've never been there. No.
And so it was this whole thing where I was like, I'm not going to reach out to him. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, but God, make this happen. And he texted me literally like 2 days after that and was like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, oh, whoa. that's kind of crazy. And so we ended up talking, and he asked if I'd ever considered teaching. I was like, no shot. No, never has crossed my path at all. And I didn't tell him that I had prayed for this, like for him to call in that moment. But I was like, well, this is weird. Let me think about it, pray about it. And I ended up texting him back a few days later and went, we met again. And I was like, so let me tell you the backstory of this. Yeah. And afterwards, we both just kind of sat there and looked at each other. And he was like, so you're in? I was like, yeah, I guess so. So hence, like, kind of started my teaching career, which is just a very crazy set of circumstances.
You seem like such a natural teacher, too.
Not something that was on my radar. I never would have imagined this is where I would be, but
yeah,
it's been super cool. Very, very
cool. So cool.
So definitely a God thing that has led me this way. So anyways, all that to say, I do love missions. I kind of started a background in missions.
Right.
Now I'm teaching. But I still get to do mission stuff. So traveling, like just all that kind of stuff is very, very, I love that. So it's really cool to be able to do that and be in this position that I never thought I'd be in.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of feel like God led me here. So
yes.
Yeah, I guess I answered the question.
Totally. Yeah. What about you, Shelley?
Wow. Well, that was really cool. Yeah. I enjoy hearing that myself. So I always knew I wanted to be a teacher from a very young age. My mom was a teacher, not actually when I was, after I was born, she stayed home, but I guess I loved her stories about the impact she had on her classroom. She taught at a really impoverished school in South Carolina, and kids would come to school with no shoes and, no food. And she was there for them, you know, and loved on them. I just thought it was really beautiful, and I felt inspired. And so my whole life, I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. And so I moved around my whole life. I was not in the military, or my father was not in the military. He was an engineer for DuPont and got transferred every few years. So I lived in Mexico as a child. That was my elementary time period, and lived throughout the U.S. And then in high school, I actually lived in Singapore. And so while I was living overseas, I had the opportunity for very extensive travel. Both with school, through, you know, sports and family travel and whatnot. And it just really opened my eyes to how awesome this world is.
Yes.
How beautiful God's people are. Just how much is out there to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bug for sure. For like, I can't just stay put in one place. Mm-hmm. There's so much more, and I want to see it.
Yeah.
And so when I went to college, the world was my oyster.
Right.
So I thought, and I found a school that I thought was really good for education. So I went to Penn State University, huge school, lots
awesome
going on.
School. Yeah.
Maybe Lions. So it was fun. It was exciting and different than anything I had done that up to that point. But I thought I was going to be an elementary teacher because that's what my mom was.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am with all these other women primarily who were also going to be elementary teachers. And I just kept thinking, man, there's a lot of people I'm competing with not that I didn't think, you know, I'd find a job, but I just thought maybe there's something a little bit more specialized for me.
Right.
Would set me apart from all these other folks.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, well, you speak Spanish. Why don't you do something with Spanish? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I never really had considered it. I don't know. It was just, it was a part of me.
Right.
You know, it was something that, because I learned it at the age of five, I began to learn. It's just a very natural second language for me. So I got to thinking, well, maybe they're onto something. Maybe I should take some Spanish classes and kind of think about it. And so ended up going towards world language education or Spanish education. And have never looked back, have been in it ever since then. But specifically, you know, didn't plan to ever go the Christian education route.
Yeah.
Or really missions. So it wasn't until later in my life when I came to the Lord and even then dragged my feet on opportunities for missions. People would say, oh, you should come to such and such, you know, mm-hmm. Spanish speaking country. You would be such an asset. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know what was holding me back because I love to travel. I love Spanish. I'm pretty outgoing. So I'm not quite sure what it was, but something was kind of just weighing me down. And when I finally gave in and went to the Dominican Republic, it was just such an incredible experience. You know, so many people have to go through translators to have their,
yes,
you know, their, yes, their time. And I didn't. And the connection I made with the people, it was just beautiful. It was a new country I'd never seen. New customs and everything. And I thought, okay, God, I can see myself doing some more of this. But I'm a mom of, you know, kids, and thought it's expensive, you know, it takes away from my work and so forth. And I was in public education. So I thought, well, maybe not missions, but maybe I could take my students in public school on an overseas trip. Maybe we could go to Costa Rica or something. And so I started to explore that. And just was met with so many roadblocks.
Hmm.
Oh, you have to apply for that 2 years in advance. Oh, you can't do that through the school because the liability. Oh, you know, you need to orchestrate every single detail of that on your own time. And I just thought, wow, okay, this is really not feasible and,
right,
and not something I think that I'm being called to do. So long story short on that end, kind of started to become a more and more, I guess, disappointed in the state of public education. I felt like I was just not being able to be who I wanted to be or who I was. And the restrictions, the expectations, things that just went against my beliefs, it started more and more wear on me. So Lincoln, our administrator here, had for a number of years, because we've been going to church together for 10 years now, had made, you know, call, oh, if you feel like you're ready, like, come talk to me.
He's such a recruiter.
He is, but he's patient. He's a patient recruiter too, because he could tell that I was holding back.
Yes.
Just like I had been on the missions.
Right.
I kept feeling, no, God's calling me to public education.
Right.
This is where I'm intended to be. I'm making a difference. Mm-hmm. This is my mission field. But I finally felt like God was like, girl, you are just I'm going to kick you through that door if you don't go through it. And I never felt so confident about making that switch as I did right then and there. And I came on board and I said to Lincoln, I said, I really want to take the kids out of the country. I want to take them on a missions trip. And his response was, then make it happen.
Awesome.
And I was like, so okay, cool. That's cool.
This is new.
Yeah. Like, what do I do with now this information? What? Yeah. Now what? I was really expecting you to say, well, we could talk about it.
Right.
And it was, he was on board and on fire. And so here we are.
That's crazy.
It's living the dream.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lily, what made you think that you might want to do something like this?
I think, well, like, first of all, it's just very, like, it sounds, like, appealing because it's, like, I love to travel. I love people. I love, you know, just, like, why not? And I feel like I'm kind of a try-everything kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'll just try it.
Yeah.
But then, well, like, when you were like, hey, Lily, like, they're doing this. Is that something you, like, you would want to do? I was like, well, that's a big opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's, if I'm given the opportunity, I'm going to take it. So then I did and pray on it. And then I got excited. And I was like, man, I actually feel like really, like this is going to be really good. So I think it was just like, I was given the opportunity.
Yeah.
There was no reason not to.
Yeah. What's the, like, kind of, like, the popular opinion of the students, you think, about this type of trip? Because this was just the second time, right?
That, yeah. Yep, second year.
Just, you know, a little insider information for us adults.
And I've never, like, no one's ever said anything like they wouldn't want to go. Pretty much anyone would want to go.
Yeah.
But not everyone, most people, I think, at this, at least that I've talked to or like have heard talk about it, like, mm-hmm. might not have the right intentions. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it just depends. Like, I think everyone would want to go.
Right.
But not everyone would want to
serve.
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you. Okay. So we kind of know about the catalyst then, because I wanted to ask you about, like, and I know I had previously asked you, how did we get into all this, yeah. you know, and you were like, talk to Shelly. Yeah. It's yeah. all Shelly. Yeah. yeah.
Well, and God's doing and Lincoln's, you know, backing for sure.
Right. Yes. That's huge that it you is. Had met all yeah. those, like the red tape and the barriers, you know, previously that didn't exist here. No. Yeah. Well, what was your initial hope? And both of you can speak to this. Mm-hmm. What is your hope? What has been your hope the last few years about how the experience will impact the people involved?
Kim? Yeah, we kind of gave like a recap in chapel this morning. Just very brief talking about like, Why do we do short-term missions? Like, right. why is this something that we're going to put a lot of work into?
Right.
Spend a lot of time doing, and, you know, is it worth it? What's the point?
Yes.
All these things. And I think that we all share the same hope that obviously it's going to be impactful.
Yes.
And it's something, I think maybe the biggest word for it is like a perspective shift,
mm-hmm.
Of students coming from, and obviously everybody's kind of different. We have a wide range of students at sure. SMLCA, but compared to Guatemala, people in Guatemala, largely very affluent
yes.
Area. And so you've got these students who get to go into this situation and see like, oh, wow, it kind of changes their whole perspective of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I am so blessed. And that's really cool. And we get to kind of bring that perspective shift here.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that it helps us build a culture
okay.
at the school okay. of let's go into the world. Let's live with the people we have here, with the people, you know, anywhere that we can make a difference, whether it's something super small, whether it's something like dedicating a bunch of time, energy, money to going, you know, on a mission trip. Like we have the ability to serve. And because we've been so blessed, we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think is kind of unbeatable on a mission trip. Like it's a very extreme way almost to just say, hey, you can make a difference.
Right.
But sometimes we think we're going there to make a big difference. And we do, mm-hmm. we definitely have an impact there, but it really, we're coming back with the,
yes.
like the difference being in us, which right. is a really cool thing.
So, it is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just second that. I think in addition to that, you know, there was a term, and if I get it wrong, I'm sorry, Dr. Parkoff, but at chapel today, he spoke about, was it spiritual pride or basically the idea that we get in a place where we're just so comfortable mm-hmm. with where we are spiritually.
Yes.
We think we're doing it all right.
Right.
We're in a Christian school. Mm-hmm. We attend, you know, this great church together. We have almost, I would say, exclusively come from really solid families that love the Lord and that, you know, love their family. And so we just get so comfortable, like life is just great. And I don't feel like we're often stretched
mm-hmm.
to go outside of that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we realize that we have a charge as Christians to share the gospel here in the United States and with all of those around us and hold one another accountable. But I also, like Mikkel was saying, you know, it doesn't have to be going out of the country, but I think it's a really good, like, big moment to see, wow, there's a lot of people in this world who don't know the Lord, who don't have what I have.
Right.
God's blessed me, and I need to do something with that
right.
blessing. It might not mean, again, going far, far away to share, but I've got to know that God gifted me with my life, my upbringing, my circumstances, and I can't just hold that all in and you know, not share it with the world. You know,
right.
I've got to be on fire for Christ. And I think it rejuvenates our spiritual attitudes when we go on this missions trip. We get poured into, we hear from another pastoral staff. We see the sacrifices they're making, the ministries they're starting, the people they're reaching. And I really feel like it reignites us. Mm-hmm. Because again, we're in this place of such spiritual comfort.
Right.
And I think it reminds us that we're not where we need to be. We'll never be there. And we just can't be complacent. And I think sometimes we need some big moments to remind us of that. And I think this allows that. And it opens the kids' eyes and minds and hearts to God's beautiful world. They've seen it maybe on TV, or they've seen it in a book, or they've heard a teacher talk about, you know, the third world countries and so forth, but they just don't get it until they're right there in the midst of it. And yeah. I just think there's so many life-changing moments that go on that it's going both ways, and it's just, it's emotional. It's beautiful. It's exhausting, but it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Lily, after hearing, and you probably knew some of that, like, what is the intention behind this trip and what do they hope that everyone gets out of the experience? But what would you say some of your biggest takeaways from the experience you had?
Biggest takeaways. There's so many takeaways, like, especially when you like come home and like, you're not like overwhelmed, but like a lot happened. So it takes time to process, but when you process and pray about it and God keeps moving and keeps showing you how he was working and how he's still working. And then like talking with like people who went on the mission trips, like we went out, a couple of us, and talked about it. And we all were like talking about how God was moving in our own lives on the trip and after.
Yes.
And it's like, even
was that
more,
the coffee shop conversation?
It was. Yeah. Yes. With Madison and Ellie.
Yes.
And it was just like so cool, but definitely,
I think that's such a good point. So I just want to foot stomp that it does take those additional conversations and continued fellowship to like process all that went on in that week. Okay. I don't want to get off there, but okay. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I kind of went in knowing that it was going to be like, I was going to gain perspective, and I definitely wanted to.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, when you gain perspective, it just like, it's humbling and it's good. You know what I mean? It's like, I needed that. And then a priority change, obviously, like this is what's important,
right?
And this is not. This is
like, you know what I mean? Do you have an example?
Just like so many things we get caught up with, like in school, like with drama, like not even drama, because like I wouldn't say that there's a bunch of drama.
Yeah,
but just like things that you're like, you think, catch yourself like thinking about or spending time on or letting it upset you or worry you. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's not important.
Yeah.
Like, what difference is that going to make in a year?
Right.
But definitely, like, being content. Because I've never been more content than I was when we were in Guatemala, even though you don't have, like, things you would here.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, you don't have air conditioning. You can't do certain things.
Right.
And, like, you don't have everything you want, like, right where you need it.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, those things don't even matter when you're there.
Yeah.
So definitely being content and then just, like, feeling, like, fulfilled. Because I guess when you're serving, it's, like, it fulfills, like, me too. Or, like, when I was, like, this feels good. Like, this makes me happy. I love doing this. And, like when you can feel God's presence, like, just moving through everyone. And then just, like, being loving. Because there was so much love. Like, love that the people had and, like, love we were sharing, like, within our group that, you know, we weren't before we left.
Right.
Because, like, you know, you haven't spent a week in another country with those people.
Right.
So a lot of them you wouldn't expect to like be close with. And then you just go and you talk and like, you just
build relationships.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. I remember one of the things that I didn't hear from her much, and that's, I didn't expect to, but one of the things that hit me, and I keep telling other people when they ask me how your trip was the whole contentment piece that she felt so content. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that contained in that word.
Yeah.
It's just like fulfilled and at peace and, you know, purposeful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that reality is here too. It's just that we have so many other things that are distracting us and vying for our contentment or attention. So what, you guys are very brave taking all of these students. My hope is you also came away with some things, some personal experiences that were significant, Was there anything like that? If there was, like, you want to tell us that or give us an example? Shelly, you want to go first? Or
sure. As I kind of alluded to, I felt like it just kind of recharged my spirit. Not that I was like lacking, I don't want to say spiritually, but I just feel like it just fueled my fire to continue to share the gospel, to serve the Lord. And I felt like, as I tell the kids, I feel like sometimes I'm like a fly on a wall, like when I'm there, because I plan it all for them. Right. And then I kind of get a chance to stand back.
Yeah.
And watch them delve in.
Yes.
And them just pour into every ministry we're doing wholeheartedly, without complaint, with just such enthusiasm and excitement and love pouring out of them. I see them in a way that I don't ever get to see them at school. And it's just beautiful. I don't know if that sounds corny, but it's just a beautiful experience to know that in a way I helped orchestrate this life-changing
yes.
experience for them. I get to see them step out of their comfort zone, do things that probably in, you know, whether it's with the elderly or with children or the construction or whatever it is, a lot of them, that's not their forte.
Right.
You know, and they voiced that at their interviews mm-hmm. with us. You know, they said, yeah, I'm not really into hanging out with children or old people creep me out or, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
You didn't see any of that there.
Yeah.
And I thought, God is moving. These kids are on fire for him. They're on fire for this experience. They're absolutely not leaving anything at, you know, on the table. They're throwing it all in. And I don't know. I think my greatest takeaway is keep doing it.
Yes.
It's so worth it.
Yes.
And I'm just so thankful that I get to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's I said this at our Wednesday night. We had the chance for a few folks to speak. And I said, I truly think in my 21 years of education that it's my most proud professional contribution.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yep. Very cool. It's such a cool experience. It's very humbling experience, I think. I not to keep using the same word, but it's just such a big perspective change, I think. When I got back, which this was the second time, I went last year as well. And it's just, it kind of is, I guess, this culture shock a little bit, mm-hmm. Where I get back to the States and I get in my own car and I drive to my own apartment and I've got all my stuff and I'm like sitting here like,
right.
Who am I to have all of this? Uh-huh. And there are thousands, millions of people around the world that don't have anything. And it's just these things of like, it is kind of categorizing that, like, what is my purpose in life? What am I actually striving for? And what are the things that are actually important? And it just helps you kind of reorganize this thing, which I think is so important that we do, of saying, all right, Jesus is number one priority, right? Mm-hmm. Everything else falls under that. And to be able to have a part in this is just so cool. I never would imagine like this is the direction that I would be. and that's just God like leading me here. And it's cool. I get to write off the success of Lincoln and Shelley and just get to show up, and it's cool. But it's such a cool thing. And then two, seeing the students like that, I may have played a small minuscule part in that mm-hmm. of like on a Wednesday night, seeing students get stand up in front of church and talk about how God worked in their life.
Right.
Like it does get you emotional a little bit where you're like, whoa, like that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And it's not, again, it's humbling because it's like, what did I do? Like God has worked in their life. Mm-hmm. God is, right. But whoa, I got to watch it. I got to witness it. And it's such a cool thing. They then come back and they start sharing this and they're talking, you know, you hear these students talk about, oh yeah, God did this, and they're telling these stories, and just so cool. Very, very neat.
We hear a lot about like these mountaintop experiences. Maybe it might not be a mission trip. It might be a camp or some kind of event where people feel like they experience the presence of God, or at least, you know, got close to mm-hmm. it. How would you guys, I did not ask this question ahead of time. It's just coming to me. So take all the time you need. I will edit out the pauses. How would you suggest that people carry that with them back into kind of quote unquote this normal life, and not just let it be, you know, left in the past.
I can go.
Right, go for it.
Off the bat, I think one of the biggest things, which Lily said, which I didn't know about the coffee shop.
I was going to say that's so cool. Yeah, I was so excited.
Very, very cool. I think the very first time I walked into my apartment when I got back, I texted Bree, which was one of the other adults that went with us.
Yeah.
And basically just laid out this whole thing of like, do you ever just, you know, like this kind of thing, like what in the world, like this just happened. And like, it's just that thing. And so I think that's one of the biggest ways is, the support around you. Right. And so it's like this accountability. In this case, you know, you're talking to, you said Madison and Ellie, who also went on the trip, which is very cool. I had texted Bree, who went on the trip, but we've talked about it multiple times after. I meet regularly with Matt Cragen, who's the youth pastor at Eastlake.
Yeah.
We're really good friends, and we meet multiple times a week, and not always necessarily just to meet. Usually we're like working out or something, but we have conversations while we're doing that, and that has been so life-giving because he actually went on the trip last year. But just in general, to have people around you who are going to help you grow.
Yeah.
And so they are there to constantly, you know, we help each other in the sense that we can keep each other on task. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's this conversation we get to process out loud together. We get to say, you know, I was reading this the other day, and this has helped me, like God is speaking to me in this way. And they get to say, oh yeah, God is speaking to me this way. And we're helping each other carry that on.
Right.
It's biblical friendship, really.
Yeah.
It's something where you're not doing it alone. When we try and do it alone and we isolate,
right.
I think that's one of the biggest ways Satan attacks us is when we are isolated and we feel like we have nobody else to reach out to is when we start to go down a dark road.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can surround myself with people who like, I know we share the same goal and that goal is to see the kingdom of God expanded, right? We're trying to glorify Jesus and we can do that together and we can help each other do that. It's very, very cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you said that very well. I was thinking the exact same thing about like the fellowship, whether somebody's been on the trip or not, like finding people who believe in the cause and who will listen and kind of just continue to, you know, encourage that flame to stay lit. And whether that's you tap into, for example, we have, three of our students that attended with us this year, have already committed to going back this summer with the church and their parents. I thought, you know, they want to remain connected and tapped into that. And, you know, we as a group, of course, share photos and stories and everything, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think it's, if you want to continue to, you know, thrive the way that you did there, you've got to be really intentional.
Right.
I think it might look different for different people, but I think there has to be a conscious, like, I can't go back to my old ways of life and exactly what I was doing before, because, you know, that's not where I am now. Like I need to kind of keep going a little bit different direction moving forward. And, I don't have that all figured out. I guess right now my biggest thing is to keep connected and talk about it and keep going.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I'd love to find other ways to make that happen too.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier, like on a grander scale, changing the culture of this place. That's huge, because not everyone's going to get to go. Yeah. So that's a big ask, I guess. And that's a big vision for like changing the culture. Can you explain just like what you mean by that? Like if you were to call the culture out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we are a Christian school. And so the heart behind that is that we are training students. Obviously also we are a school. And so you have all the academics as well. But if we get a student who goes from, you know, start to finish with us and they meet all the academic accolades and they play the sports and do the things, and they go on and, you know, maybe they go D1 in a sport and they go play professionally or they leave and they go to Harvard and they do all the best things. That's awesome. But if they didn't encounter Jesus when they were here, we messed up.
Yeah.
And ultimately they succeeded in things that didn't actually help them. Mm. And so I think the biggest heart is we want to ground them and, mm-hmm. and have them founded on what's really important.
Yeah.
And we do that by being very intentional about it's a lot of work. It is a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But we're willing to do that, right? We're willing to do that because this is what's important.
Right.
If there are a few that go on and do the D1 stuff and do the Harvard stuff, like that's awesome.
Right.
But we hope it's our prayer, right, that they are grounded in Jesus when they're doing those things. And yeah. now they have that platform to talk about what really matters.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to go, you know, to those extremes and be super successful that way. And that's okay. They can still be grounded in Jesus wherever they go, wherever mm-hmm. they end up, right? You stay at home parent or you're working at just a 9-to-5 kind of blue collar job. Everybody needs Jesus.
That's right.
And it's a mission field everywhere you go.
Right.
And so we're saying this is priority number one. And if we can be intentional about how we spend our time and the opportunities that we give, it helps establish a culture that says we're doing all the other things and we're going to do those well.
Yeah.
But this is priority number one.
Right.
And it trickles into all the other things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we want to make it. We want to make it the cool thing.
Yeah.
The cool thing. And we want it to be so prevalent in everything we're doing. Like, it's just like oozing out of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Mikhail said, we're known as a school who's got their stuff together, credentials. And,
right.
you know, we meet all the accreditation standards and graduation, all that's, you know, we got that in place. We got good academic, believe in that. But we want people to be like, wow, that school, they literally like are on fire for Christ.
Right.
Like, the kids are. They go on missions trips. They, you know, they're involved in their churches and their community. Their you know, school is completely biblically integrated. You know, we want all the kids to be like that. That's who I am. You know, I'm not here for any other reason than, you know, that's my number one, that God is my number one.
Yeah.
I think it's going and doing these things and it's asking the question, like, how can I use this to glorify God? Like, mm-hmm. I'm a really talented athlete. How can I use that to glorify mm-hmm. God? I'm really talented in mathematics. How can I use that to glorify mm-hmm. God? And it's,
yep.
so it is. It's just putting the right things first.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Okay, Lily, for maybe there's going to be people out there, adults, kids, who knows, listening to this. And, you know, maybe they feel an inkling that they want to go and do something like this. How would you encourage or prepare like this, a student like yourself for an experience like this?
I would definitely recommend it to anyone who can or has the opportunity. And I would also like recommend just like really like diving in and getting your relationship like set with God. You know what I mean? Like making sure you're already have a relationship with him. Like if you're a student here, like it's easy to get caught up with things. And then like going there is like a reset. But for people who are like, you know what I mean? And then definitely getting involved like with the people you're going with and like getting good friends and getting good like influences on your life, because that makes such a big difference, because then it is cool. Hey, let's go study together. Let's go mm-hmm. or like study our Bibles. Let's go pray together.
Right.
Like, hey, I saw this verse today and it, you know,
it encouraged me.
Yeah. I'm praying for you. Things like that. Like, how can I be praying for you? Like things when you have good friends, it makes like such a big difference. Or like if you're going on a mission trip with like those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then like for me, like being like younger and going, mm-hmm. it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
That first night.
Yes.
I was scared. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I was like on the verge of tears.
Right.
Like, but I think like if God puts you somewhere, he's going to carry you through it.
Yes.
And you have to trust him. And that's yes. a lesson that you're going to see over and over and over again in life.
Right.
So it's so good to like see that. Because then after we got there, like
right.
I feel like I just like not blossomed, but you know what I mean? Like
right.
I feel like I got closer with like the upperclassmen
mm-hmm.
and I really like did my best to like not be to like, go and interact with the people there
mm-hmm.
and do what I can. So like just trusting God, because it's a hard lesson, because
sometimes it's hard for all of us.
Yeah.
You're human. That's a hard lesson.
Yeah. Because you want to do things on your own.
Yes, you do.
And like, you know, like why would I, it, sometimes I feel like we can be very like, no, I can do it.
Right.
But like, no, we can't.
Yes.
So I think that was like one, another really good lesson.
Yeah. What would you say? And I didn't ask you this ahead of time. So again, take your time to, because I know you and I have had this conversation, but to the parent who is concerned that maybe their child isn't ready or, you know, like they are afraid to be away from their child for a week.
Yeah. I think for us, it's kind of easier because it's already something we do.
Sure.
But I can definitely understand how, like, it would be really hard or scary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, like, just trusting God is such a big lesson. And I think it's really hard, but I think it's really important.
Yeah.
And at least from, like, what you've told me, like you trust God and that, like, influences me, too. And, like, seeing you do that, I mean, like, oh, well, my mom's on fire for the Lord. Like, there must be something there that, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be worth it. Obviously it is. If she, you know what I mean? Things like that. Then also, I don't know, like holding back your kid from doing something that could be life-changing out of fear. Like fear is not from the Lord. The Lord is not going to tell you to be scared, especially if it's, you're doing something.
That's a word. That'll freak.
Especially if he's calling you or your child to be there and serve him. He's not going to.
Thank you.
Abandoned.
Yeah. It's good. It's always going to be hard as a parent.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, you know, when I drop you off at school. All right. Last question. Mm-hmm. And then we'll wrap this up. So you already, Shelly, you talked about at the beginning, like all of the the red tape
right.
and
yeah.
and the basically brick walls that you ran into as a public school educator trying to get something together like this. And then how there was fewer of those, but you still, I mean, the amount of logistics, planning, relationship building with Impacto and other organizations, like, I don't know how you did it all, but you did it. How might you encourage other educators who have this same or similar desire, you know, to provide this kind of experience for themselves and their schools? How might you I don't want to say warn, but encourage or prepare them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a loaded question because I think it depends on, you know, where you are. If you're in public education, it's still possible, not necessarily in the mission sense, but to give your students a cultural experience, you know, you got to be willing to fight for it and probably do a lot on your own. But if you really feel called to it, you know, it is doable. I've known teachers to do it in public school, or even I've known teachers who connected to their church so that they could do it in the mission sense, you know, and they invited students who they knew, you know, were believers to join them. And so, you know, they kind of did it in a little bit more roundabout way.
Right.
I suppose. You know, in the Christian sector, I just pray that other administration would see it like my administrator saw it, that, you know, what an incredible opportunity and would be supportive of it. But even then, even if you have the support, as you've mentioned, Barb, it's a lot of work. But I felt called to it. I really, truly felt like God was telling me that this is what I should be doing. And so I didn't want to have a spirit of fear. You know, I wanted to have a spirit of like, lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. I'll put in the time. I'll put in the effort. I think some important things are finding somebody to join you in the effort. And Mikhail has been an absolutely incredible partner in crime. I think we work really well together. We balance each other's strengths and weaknesses. You know, we have talents that we're bringing to the table that really, I think, put the whole picture together. You've got to convince the parents and the students that it's worth doing, that it's worth joining in, and that you are going to protect their child as much as you possibly can every step of the way. You've got to be organized so that they see that they see that there's planning, there's purpose, that there's, you know, financial kind of like stepping stones, that there's fundraising, planned and that there's intention behind, each of those items, and that there's meetings for preparation, that there's logistical planning, that there's communication so that everybody, families included, know when are you going? What do you need to bring? What will you be doing while you're there? As you mentioned, developing that relationship with the in-country, missions group
right.
that you're serving with, that takes a lot of communication and sometimes it's delayed and sometimes, they don't have the same urgency, that I might have with wanting to know something and they might not have all of the stuff figured out. And so it's a lot of winging it. And I think if Mikkel were to kind of weigh in on this, he'd probably agree that I've tried really hard to get better at being flexible and a little bit more go with the flow and say, God, you've got this and I trust. You've just got to be diligent about making sure you're checking things off and that you don't wait till the last minute for anything.
Right.
Get those flights, as early on as you can. Make sure then, you kind of have all the meetings mapped out and again, all the fundraising, all the total cost as much as you can possibly figure it so that it's a smoother kind of process that people can follow along with.
Yeah. You're essentially taking down the barriers for the rest of us.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I'm like the travel agent, the trip planning and the financial aid office.
It's great. Shelly says, show up here at this right. time. I'm like, all right, perfect.
Yes.
So yeah, if your heart says do it, then I just can't encourage you enough. Just delve in, do it. You won't regret it. And I already sent Lincoln a text today and I said, hey, can I start planning next year's trip? Like, I'm ready. You just get this bug and
it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah. If I were to add anything, I think you would probably totally agree. There's a big level of patience that you have to have with it. In general, I think it's a lot like teaching in general. You plan everything out. And then it all changes. and so it's like, cool, neat. All right. And so being able to just pick that up and be like, all right, well, now let's try this. And now let's try this. And that's something that it's hard to learn sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a big key to know, like, okay, I'm going to have to be like, well, that's new. That happens. but that's okay. And, it's going to be good. And then you have somebody like Shelly who can fix it really fast for us. That's great.
problem solving.
Yes. That patience is a big part of that. And just the flexibility that comes with a mission trip and the up and downs of high schoolers. That's just an element that goes into it.
Yeah.
But we had a really good group. And so it was awesome both years.
Everybody gets hangry no matter what age you are. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the only thing I didn't say, and I just think it's important to say, go in excitedly and expectantly. I don't want to go do all this work, go all this way, and then not be able to enjoy it
right.
and not be able to really see it happening.
Yeah.
Like I need to put down the planning
right
at that point. Like I've done it's what done. I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and I want to continue to do better and better and better at this each year. Like, just embrace it.
Right.
Just, I'm excited. I'm there. I'm there for it. Whatever right. it is.
Yeah.
I've done as much as I possibly could. Yep. I know we're gonna be okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Whatever comes our way. So I think you just got to make sure you're not so stuck in like the plan and the what ifs and the I got to be ready for the change that you miss anything.
Mm.
Don't miss it.
I think it's good too. You should go and being excited. That's a big part of one. We have amazing just like leadership in general here, which is very cool. We've already mentioned Lincoln a bunch, how he's mm-hmm. very supportive of this, which is huge to have an administrator that's on board. Beyond that, the church, like the school board, the board, the elders at Eastlake, like just incredibly supportive of it. And that makes a really big difference. I think when you have a leadership that is going to support that, jump in and say, yes, like this is awesome, but go for it, like do the things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big aspect. And then having the leaders that go on the trip, just going in, like if we go in and aren't totally all in it, the students feel that. And so they I think will reflect a lot of our passion behind it.
Yeah.
And so it's just been really cool to be able to go. Shelly, Bree and I have gone both years. And then the switch was Pastor Matt, the youth pastor for Lincoln this year. Mm-hmm. But everyone who's gone has just been super awesome in the role that they play there. And I think that's been really, really huge. Okay. Mm-hmm. That there's a good relationship there between the leaders, and everybody wants to be there. And we know what our purpose is there. And I think that's helpful when it comes to the students, because they see that. They're like, okay, yeah, they've got it figured out. Like they, mm-hmm. you know, even if we don't, it's like
you this. Can't have everything.
Gabby. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that it's a good team. That's been cool.
It is.
Yeah. What's so cool is like knowing you guys are so intentional, and you're intentional with every single day that you're there. You've got, you know, the like morning meeting that you meet at night to like talk about the day and start the process of processing. You've got people praying for you, you know, and talking about that. And it's like, when you're a person back home, knowing that, you know, you've got a loved one away, we've experienced that through, you know, military deployments and things like that. But, it does make you think twice about, well, like, I mean, I am living every day. Pretty sure I'm like on purpose going to be here for this day. So what's the difference? You know, like you're away, you're very intentional about the day. And I realize obviously, right? Like it's a mission trip. You're there for a short period of time. You want to do as much as possible, but like, aren't we here for a short period of time and we want to do as much as possible? So getting that, you know, prayerful intention in the morning and staying connected and processing, you know, God's faithfulness even throughout each day is just such an awesome lesson, you know, as a parent to see you guys kind of creating that habit with the kids. Yeah, very cool. Well, I just want to thank all of you for being here. Thank you all for all of the work that you do behind the scenes. We'll never know how many hours you spend in preparation for this. And it was life-changing. I think we knew it was going to be, and it absolutely was. And it has fueled so many like conversations and just matured, I think, like Lily's desire to live for the Lord, whatever that looks like, you know what I mean, in her life. And getting exposed to things outside of your comfort zone is so amazing. And like she said, like has taught her to trust the Lord, and she's going to need that anywhere she goes, no matter what she does. So thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for the service that you raise your hand for every day when you walk into this school. And yeah, I think we can leave it at that. You guys have any more parting words?
Thank you. This was cool. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your intentionality. And I'm super glad you got to go, Lily. It's awesome. Oh, yeah, very, very cool. I'm glad you didn't let the fear like talk you out of it because it was awesome. I know every now and then you would kind of talk and be like, I'm going to be the youngest one. Like, it's awesome that you were there. Very, very glad you got to go. Super cool.
Yeah. This was really almost therapeutic to kind of be able to reflect on everything and kind of reframes it as well, puts it in perspective. Like, this is, you know, it's an important work.
Yes.
And I don't want to take it lightly. I don't want to ever just think of it as, oh, I got to get started on the planning because, you know, it's just what I do. You know, I want to make sure everything is done intentionally. So thank you for helping us maybe even in, I don't know, guess encourage or incite this.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by you. It goes all the way around.
Yep.
And are you comfortable with other parents or educators or even students reaching out to you at some point if they hear this somewhere around the world and are curious about doing something similar? Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
We'll put it in the show notes then, your whatever contact information you're most comfortable with, like an email address or something.
And, yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
For sure.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another incredible episode of In the Name of Service. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like and subscribe. And of course, feel free to share with those you feel would like to be inspired. Have a difference maker in your life that you'd like to see featured? Reach out to Dr. Barb Thompson at inthenameofservice@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.